flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980 on what is a somber day for us here at Odyssey in D.C. As you were just listening to Chris Russell, remember his friend, former co-host, Pete Medhurst. And rather than circle back to talking about Pete later in the show, and I might do that as well, I wanted to just simply, like, as opposed to, again, the hard left turn, we're going to have to hard left turn eventually, to go from incredible personal low and just a human tragedy. And that's what cancer is so often, in losing one of our colleagues, losing someone who meant a lot to the station and to the stations over at 106.7 The Fan, as someone, and Chris is like this too, where we've been between the two stations. Like, we both worked with Pete in both spots. And then we have the most joyous thing that's happened in DC sports in forever. That is our main topic. And so trying to square that, that's my job. I'll figure out how to do it. But at the end of the day, as I was listening to Chris there at the end of the show, I just texted Anthony and I was like, you know what? Rather than talk about Pete later, I'm just going to open the show and talk about Pete a little bit now. And Pete was and by the way, if you're just tuning in, if you're like, what are you talking about? Unfortunately, our friend, our colleague, Pete Medhurst, passed away last night. Pete was just 55 years old. Pete was someone who worked with Chris Russell, as a host, but also was doing updates, and, was a fill-in play-by-play man for us here at the Odyssey Cluster, specifically with the Nationals, where he was the third broadcaster whenever Charlie or Dave had to be out. Pete was also the longtime voice of Navy Athletics and meant so much to his community out in Annapolis, and his family still does. When you're the voice of something, it's a different relationship when you're the voice of not just even a professional team. Like, you know, the job that Bram has is phenomenal, and Bram is getting to author all of these moments as the play-by-play voice of the Commanders, and that's something that he gets to carry and is incredible for Bram. But when you're the play-by-play voice of a college, and especially when that college is the Naval Academy, like, how special? How special is that relationship with those young men, those young women, their families, the things you get to do as the lead broadcaster for an entity so special? And the thing that always stood out to me with Pete was, there was nobody that sounded more like a professional broadcaster in our space, in this city, than Pete Medhurst. Like, a broadcaster's broadcaster, to the point of almost parody sometimes. I'm like, there's no way this is your real voice, man. Like, you can't talk like this all the time. But he could, because that's who he was. It was authentic. It wasn't a bit. It wasn't accentuated. It wasn't, you know, any of those things. It was just legitimate and it was real. Of just how talented he was and his ability to deliver clear, concise information. Although I would say sometimes concise wasn't his forte, because he just knew so much. And my number one, like, go-to story with Pete would always be the draft that I worked with him. I want to say it was the 2020 NFL draft. I can't remember exactly. The details are blurry. It was one of those drafts deep in COVID, and there was, I guess, two of those. The 2020 draft was obviously the deepest, and then it probably wasn't that one, but 2021 was still pretty deep coming out of it, and I guess they had the draft in person that year, but things were finally getting back to normal, and it was, I guess it would have been the 21 draft, and I just remember thinking, like, I'm underprepared for this broadcast, which is something I hate. I hate it. But I had so much stuff going on that I was doing with a variety of projects and things that I just – and also, like, I'm just not a huge college football guy. And so for me to prepare for the draft was such a gargantuan task. And I did my best. But because of the scope of what you need to know for a draft, all the different players – and it's one thing when it's last year, right? The 2024 draft was easy for someone hosting the Washington Draft Show. Do you know everything you can possibly know about Jaden Daniels? Do you know everything you can possibly know about Drake May, just in case? But we knew J.J. McCarthy. Like, we knew it was going to be one of those quarterbacks. You weren't going to have to wait very long. You weren't going to have to talk about any other teams. It was going to be, Caleb, get out of the way. Go to Chicago. Let's see what Washington does. We're pretty sure by draft day that it's going to be Jaden Daniels. And then let's talk about Jaden Daniels. That year, Commanders are much more towards the middle of the draft. They're, you know, with Rivera, and you know, you never knew quite where he was going to go, which is not meant to turn this into a bashing of Ron Rivera, but you just didn't know. But I remember literally thinking to myself, verbatim, and I probably said this verbatim to some people, I'll be fine. I've got Pete. I think CK and I actually had that conversation. Like, I'll be fine. I got Pete. Because there, he was a literal human encyclopedia. There's just no one who knew more stuff about everything in the sports world than Pete Medhurst. And whether it was an NFL draft, an NBA draft, like, if you had to have a reaction to breaking news, which is also why, on top of him being a good writer and excellent on the delivery and professional in terms of his timing and all that kinds of things, all these little things that I appreciate as a broadcaster, like, if you want someone in the anchor booth, Pete Medhurst was your guy, because if there was breaking news, you could tell Pete something happened 5 seconds before he went on the air, and it would have been like he wrote a, he could have done 3 minutes. And then you'd be like, hey, Pete, it's an update, man. Like, you know, we'll take care of it in the segment. You could have, because he had that much. He could have done an hour, because no matter what you told him on the sports front, that guy knew what he had to know. And so all I had to do on that draft was drive the bus. I had to make sure we didn't crash, get us in and out of break, which I thought was funny, because I was like, wait, I'm leading this? Pete's Pete. Broadcaster's broadcaster. But all I had to do was drive the bus. And sure enough, as the players come off the board, hey, Pete, what do you think of this pick for the Jets? What do you think of this pick for this team? How is this shaping the board for the Commanders? Oh, is that a big deal? Dude, it was on it. Every single pick. From the time that we signed on, setting up the day, to the time that we signed off that night, couldn't have asked for a better partner on that particular night, on that particular show. And that was my most extensive experience working with Pete. But, of course, saw him in the halls and all those types of things over the 8 years that we would have crossed in our building at Odyssey. And I know that, you know, especially Chris – and CK and Grant and Danny and the folks that worked a lot more, you know, the Junks that worked a lot closer with Pete far more often. This is such a brutal day. I mean, for me, someone who had so much respect for him and, you know, get the updates. But, you know, Pete and I weren't like we were close friends or anything. But getting the updates, just like, damn, man, come on, Pete. I know how tough you are. Like, you got this. Pull through. And obviously, we got the terrible news this morning that we've lost our friend and colleague, Pete Medhurst, at the age of 55. If you'd like to support his wife, Brenda, and his kids and their family, unfortunately, you know, death is horrible, as it is, just the fact that you've lost someone. But the reality is it's also extraordinarily expensive. And that's just a sad reality of the world that we live in. And I don't even know why. I'm not going to beg to or start to pontificate on why that is. But, like, you know, all that stuff is really genuinely expensive. And if you'd like to support Brenda and the Medhurst family in this incredibly difficult time monetarily, we would love to be the connection to let you do so. They've set up a GoFundMe page. If you're watching us on YouTube, I've pinned that to the chat. On our YouTube page. I've also put it in the description. If you're listening on the radio right now, you can head to x.com/theteam980, and that has been pinned to the top there. And I will also try to pin this on my Instagram page at hoffman.sports. there is no easy transition. There is no easy way to have this in the background for the rest of the show. And on a day that we on our show do a vibe check Tuesday, like, what's the vibe? It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. It sucks. But we're going to, you know, look, nothing Pete Medhurst loved doing more than talking sports. We're going to talk sports. Again, Pete and I weren't super duper close, and I'm not going to pretend that we were, but I'm pretty sure that I didn't know Pete well enough that he would be like, y'all go have fun. Y'all enjoy this. Y'all take this monumental, historic moment in DC sports, one that luckily Pete got to live with the Nationals and the Capitals and, you know, the teams that did win while he was doing this job. But he certainly wouldn't want to take away the joy of DC sports fans. He would never want to be the reason that DC sports fans are sad. So we're going to honor Pete by having some fun, talking some football on the radio, and doing our best to honor our guy that way. So with that, we'll get back to the Commanders, and we'll get back to their matchup with the Eagles. Mitch will join us at 5. We'll do all our usual Tuesday stuff. We got a pick six at 6 today. Our typical Monday version gets bumped to Tuesday, so that's going to be a good time. And that's how we're going to roll for the rest of the show. But again, if you'd like to donate, the link is multiple places, including pinned in the YouTube chat at the Team 980. We'll be right back on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. 5 o'clock, Mitch Tischler joins us. You will hear from Logan Paulson on Jaden Daniels' performance coming up at 5:30. Our pick six at 6 today. I'm pretty pumped about it. We're going to review the players that I picked. Anthony, I did it without you on Friday. I think I did a pretty good job, too, of identifying some of the key players in the Commanders' win over the Lions. We're going to review that coming up at 6, and then we'll see what we got. Probably go around the NFL at 6:30. But right now, we're opening up the phone lines. Take your calls at 301-230-0980 as we get your vibe, a vibe check Tuesday on the Commanders heading to that NFC Championship game. And I was flipping through the Anthony, I was flipping through the weekly release, which I realized I just searched for a term that nobody outside of the media knows what it is. Basically, the Commanders send around, and every team does this, they send around like a book that has all the stats and records, and it's got rosters and all this kind of stuff every single week. It's got the broadcasters for the game. It's got everything. And yes, the game is on Fox. You'll get Tom Rinaldi, but you'll get Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi on the call. Again, we have the game on the Team 980 here as well, courtesy of Westwood One, where Ian Eagle and Kurt Warner and Ross Tucker will be on the call. Ian will join us at 4:30 on Friday. But I was flipping through there, and they had the playoff records by round. Did you know that Washington is 5-1 in conference championship games?
I did not know that.
Doesn't do you any good on Sunday, but it's a cool stat, and that's some cool history.
Who's that long lost to?
Any more likely to win? Did they lose to Dallas on one of the Cowboys? Like the Washington and Dallas went like ham after each other in the late 80s, early 90s. Dallas obviously ultimately got the three. Washington got their final of their three Lombardis. So my guess is they lost one of those. But any fan that was alive then, if I'm wrong, is going to absolutely murder me for suggesting that they might have lost to the Dallas Cowboys. So either I'm correct or I'm dead. I'm dead to the people who favor team history over any other analytical point, any other ability that I might have.
Yeah, and I'm not doing you any justice or service because
you were Googling frantically. Now, oh my God, Anthony. Okay, now you're gonna make me do this. Washington Commanders franchise history. Not the Wikipedia page. We need the Pro Football Reference page. This is the most thrilling radio that we can possibly do. This is why we need Pete. Pete would know this. Pete would know this and everything else off the top of his head. Lost Super Bowl, lost division, or won Super Bowl, lost division, lost conference. In 1986, they lost the conference championship game. Nope. They got shut out by the New York Giants on January 11th, 1987.
And you had the audacity to say the Cowboys.
I know. And then the Giants went and beat Denver in the Super Bowl, who beat Cleveland in OT. That was one of the terrible Cleveland losses. Yeah, that was it was a bad day for Jay Schrader in the old Washington. He went 20 of 50 for 195, sacked four times. Phil, how about this? The Giants won a game, 1987 NFL football, everybody, where Phil Sims went 7 of 14 for 90 yards and a touchdown. No interceptions. Yikes. Ran the ball damn near 40 times. Wow. Different world, different league, different everything. Art Monk did have 8 for 126 in that game, Anthony. 8 for 126, which is more yards through the air than Phil Sims had passing for the Giants, but they lost 17-0.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Different league now. Different league. All right, it's Vibe Check Tuesday. Let's get to the phones at 301-230-0980. Let's get started with Samson in Frederick. Samson, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Hoffman, man. Good talking to you. Hey, my vibe check is, talk me off the ledge, man, regarding our kicker Gonzo, man. I'm just not feeling super confident in his abilities going into such a critical game.
I mean, I don't know that I can talk you off the ledge. It feels pretty high stakes, if I'm being honest, Samson. He's fine, which I know is not exactly a ringing endorsement. I do think that like some of the nervousness that people got after seeing him go through his OCD tics before that game winner where he doinked it in, like one, he made it. That's pretty important. And now we know that that's like a thing. That wasn't just like nerves. That was his OCD, which he talked about extensively last week, and good on him for doing so. But that doesn't mean he's not ready. He's not prepared, not anything. He's an average NFL kicker, which means he's going to miss some, maybe the best thing I can say is if he had a miss in him, he got it out of his system and in a kick that ultimately didn't matter when, they could have gone up 17 instead of 14. He also has been excellent on kickoffs outside of the first one last week. And I think that's actually a really important thing. The field position game for Washington, even though there weren't, they didn't punt it except for the one time where Tress pinned the Lions inside the 10. From a field position standpoint, they cover kicks extraordinarily well. And part of that is Zane Gonzalez's ability to directionally kick and make it a difficult return and get those guys on the edge down closer to the ball. And the only time that Detroit had starting field position above the 30-yard line was that first kickoff that he sent out of bounds. It was either touchback or tackled inside the 30 every single time. So, yeah, field goal kicking, especially if it's cold and or windy and or snowing, don't feel amazing. I don't feel great about Jake Elliott on the Philly side either, with the season he's had, and he stunk it up last week as well. But at least on the kickoff front, you got something as opposed to, say, when Austin Seibert was here and anything that was over 40 yards was a risk and he couldn't kick the ball through the end zone when you needed him to, like Zane Gonzalez can. So that's my kicker take. All right. Thanks for the call, Samson. I hope – Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, he was listening. He just hung up.
Okay. I guess he's satisfied.
I think so.
I mean, never mind. That's good. Glad we started with kicker takes. Here's what we're going to do.
You gave him the reassurance he needed, Craig. That's all.
Okay. As long as you're reassuring me. When we get back, we got phone lines starting to fill up, and we're going to get to more calls that are probably not about the kicker. Also, we have Kurt who wants to comment on the 1986-87 NFC Championship game, a thing that just became a part of our show. That we didn't know would be part of our show when we started the show today. That's next. More of your calls here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Taking your calls, 301-230-0980. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. Let's keep it rolling with Kurt the Sigma, who not only has thoughts on the game against the Eagles, but if you were with us in the last segment, we were trying to figure out what the one loss in Washington's ever 5-1 record in conference championship games was, and it was the 1986-87 season where they lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship game. And, Kurt, I've been told you have thoughts on that as well.
I do. I'll start with that. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there.
Okay. It was a game where neither team had 200 yards of total offense, and it was a swirling 38-mile-an-hour wind the whole game. And Parcells made a strategic move where he outsmarted Joe Gibbs. Okay, he took the ball. He made the Skins go into the wind right from the start. Okay, so once they went into the wind, Gibbs tried to put Raleigh McKenzie, who was a guard in the backfield as a lead blocker for George Rogers. But Rogers couldn't get anything. I mean, nothing, okay? And they stuffed them, like, on a three and out where they didn't get nothing. They got the ball. They had to win. They scored. Once it was 7-0, the game was essentially over, okay? They scored another touchdown before the first half, and they had them shut out. And then the Skins just could not get anything going. When they went against the wind, they couldn't get anything going. When they did have the wind, the Giants just did a lot of blitzing. They just batted Schrader the whole game.
Well, yeah, I mean, 38-mile-an-hour winds, and they threw it 50 times. You know, Joe's a Hall of Famer.
Right. Not
going to doubt Joe Gibbs, but that seems like that might have been a tactical error.
Right, right. Yeah, it was a tactical error, no doubt. But it was one time where Gary Clark got free. I mean, he was wide open, but the wind swirled, and he dropped it, but you can't blame him for dropping. I mean, the ball was just moving all. It was like zigzagging in the air, and he just couldn't pull it in. He was wide open. Everybody was like 10 yards behind him, and they couldn't pull it in. And after that, that was their last chance.
Well, the good news is this weekend here in present times in Philadelphia this weekend, the forecast is not too bad. There are going to be some winds, but like 10, 11-mile-an-hour winds, nothing too crazy. So hopefully Jaden and company have a, I won't say comfortable day. I mean, it'd be great if they had a comfortable day, but certainly not going to be weather-induced discomfort. How are you feeling about this edition of the NFC Championship game?
I feel good about it. I mean, everything points to Philly winning. I mean, they got the offensive line, defensive line. They got the advantage of the secondary. They got the advantage of skill positions. They got the advantage of running back. But for some reason, I think the Commanders are going to pull it out. Jeff Joyner gave them bulletin board material today. He done came out his face and said that the Commanders have a snowball's chance in hell to win. And then he gave Jaden Daniels zero respect. He said he can't respect anybody that hasn't played in the league more than 1 year. So he said Jaden Daniels, as far as he's concerned, is a zero. Okay, to me, that's bulletin board material. I think they should get a hold of that, look at that, and motivate that. Not that they need motivation, but it was very disrespectful in my opinion. But for whatever reason, I just think they're going to win the game. Okay, everything says they shouldn't, but I just think they will.
Kurt, thanks for the call, and I would say two things. One, everything except for the fact that they have the better quarterback, which is a relevant plot point in an NFL playoff game. The Washington Commanders have the better quarterback in this game, and all due respect to Jalen Hurts, I don't think it's particularly close. If you were to stick Jaden Daniels in the middle of the Eagles offense, oh my God, what he could do with that skill position group and that O-line, holy cow. This dude is now over 5,000 total yards from the season with De'Ami Brown and Alamide Zaccheaus and Jameson Crowder and 34-year-old Zach Ertz and Brian Robinson, who all due respect is not Saquon Barkley, like obviously. But the other thing that I would say that the Commanders have that is an advantage is I like their staff better. Like I think from a game plan standpoint, I think they've got the better group. Now, Vic Fangio is awesome, and if you told me that Vic Fangio got Cliff Kingsbury's number on Sunday, I'd be like, dang, it was fun while it lasted, because Cliff has been awesome so far in these playoffs, and I really, really trust Cliff. But Vic Fangio's sensational. He's one of the godfathers of modern NFL defense. And on the other side, like, Kellen Moore is very good. He's not as good. He's not one of the elite play callers and designers in the league, but with this skill position talent, I also don't know that you need to be. And so that seems relevant. On the motivation point, This isn't a bulletin board material team. This is an intrinsically, internally motivated team. They have to go through us, was the message last week. Like, they're not looking for some pundit somewhere to say something silly. They're not like, oh, yeah, that's it. Let's get that extra little bit of whatever. No. They're going to be like, we're going to approach it the same way we have every single week. We're going to do our business. We're going to be prepared. We're going to get that work. And then on Sunday, they can get our work. And that's how they operate. And it just it creates a consistency that I think has been sensational, and it's allowed them to get to this point. 301-230-0980. Let's go to our guy Ross in Tampa. Ross, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show, my friend.
What's going on, Craig Money? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right, Ross. Doing all right.
Hey, I tell you what. I vetoed. I got away from 980 for a while. You know, some of my heaviest hitters, Zabe, Galdi, Scott Lynn, even Kevin for a little bit, were all cut from the radio station, and I kind of got away, so I wasn't able to, like, you know, listen to guys like Pete Medhurst. And I actually didn't start listening to you or Russ until things around here got better. I never listened to you guys talk about congressional investigations and flights and 60 million. I didn't listen to any of that. I listened to you guys and things got better, so it's a shame that I wasn't around during the Pete Medhurst days, but, my condolences goes to the entire 980-1067 family, man.
Appreciate that, Ross. Thank you.
No problem, man. So football-wise, you know what? I did not know Vic Fangio's been coaching so long. My very first NFL game was a Colts game, and I didn't know he was the defensive coordinator there before Dungy got there. That's insane. But I'll tell you what, man, my vibe is off the charts. Craig, I don't know how much older you are than me. I think you might got me by like a whole calendar year. Dude, last time this team won a Super Bowl, like, I was not even a year old, man, and I want this so bad. I want this for guys like Anthony, Linnell, Denson, guys who weren't even alive when they last won. Someone for me and you who couldn't even tell you where we were when they was last won a Super Bowl. Now, I know, hold on, let's go ahead and take it one step at a time. Let's get through Philly and then whoever's there, you know what I'm saying? But I want to take the nastiest route. I didn't want to be like, oh, I want to play LA because it's warmer. No, I want to go through Philly, and then God willing, if Kansas City can pull through and meet us there, I want the toughest road, because Linnell said it best. If you got this guy on the team, the quarterback that is, you got a chance. And it's crazy to think, Craig, this is probably going to be the worst crew around him, and there's so many talented players. It's insane, man. But my vibe check is the highest it's been with this organization for my entirety of being a fan for this organization, man, and I couldn't be more excited. But you guys hang in there. You guys have a good rest of your day, and I'll be talking to you later this week, man. Let's go.
I appreciate it, Ross. Thank you. Yeah, man, like, first of all, we're not going to give Linnell credit for if we got five, we got a chance. That's all of his teammates say that. Everybody says that. That's not a Linnell saying. We're not giving Linnell that kind of credit. Linnell says plenty of stuff that nobody else says. He can have that stuff. But yeah, man, I want this to happen for a lot of different reasons. And I want this to happen for a lot of different people, for fans, young and old, for the reasons that Ross said, if you haven't seen it, but also for those that have stuck through or those that decided, you want to know what? This is different. I'm coming back. Like, I want that. I also want it as a sports fan. It's like a generic, forget that I'm from here and I live here and this is where I'm at now, and the team that I want to see succeed the most is the Burgundy and Gold. No twisting that. But like as a generic sports fan, as someone who likes seeing people who do it right be rewarded on and off the field, I want this for this organization. I want it for Jaden, who goes about his business the right way, who doesn't cheat the game. I want this for Adam Peters, who has built it the right way. For Dan Quinn, who treats people well and ensures that, like, that Ashburn's a great place to work for everybody. For guys like Bobby Wagner, for guys like Terry McLaurin, who stuck it out and have just continued to work hard and been a professional the entire time through all of the crap. I want it for all of them. And to beat Philly, who at times has been, I would say, not the most professional. Some of the nonsense that Sirianni's done, and you know the way C.J. Gardner-Johnson plays is not my favorite. And you know, they've got some great dudes over there too. Like, I love Mailata. Like his story is incredible. You know, I think it'd be awesome for Saquon. Like, if I'm being objective about it, of course, there's going to be guys on every team that you're like, oh, I want it. That'd be great for that guy. And look, like Mahomes, dude's the best I've ever seen. It seems like it's righteous for him to win every year. It seems like Josh Allen, that dude deserves a Super Bowl. How incomplete would it feel to know, to witness how great he is and to be like, he never won one? But yeah, man, there's no doubt who I want to win the most. And there's no doubt that they have a chance because they've got a guy who's elevated to that Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar level, right on the verge of it, or perhaps even on it as a rookie in the NFL, which is wholly unprecedented, and we'll see just how far he can take it. One more segment's worth of your calls next at 301-230-0980, and then Mitch Tischler joins us at 5 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Taking your calls, 301-230-0980. That's our phone number where you can hit us on the Team 980 listener line on a Vibe Check Tuesday. How are we feeling as the Commanders are entering the NFC Championship game? Let's keep things rolling with Ken. Ken, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Craig, how's it going?
Doing all right, Ken. Thanks for asking.
Hey, I'm like Linnell. As long as we have number five, we're never out of the game.
you Craig, Linnell, and a heck of a lot of other people, Ken.
It's been a long time coming. For the first time in 38 years, I'm not on suicide watch. And let me tell you, it is awful nice to look on the other side of the fence. Unlike other people, I see the Commanders winning 31-21. I don't respect the passing game at all. I think we're going to keep Barkley in check and maybe give him 120, 125 on the ground. But, you know, and I reserve this for another show. What makes me sleep well at night is the way this organization is ran and how much money we have to continue to invest in this ball club. It's what a feeling. I understand, like, teams like Yankees and Cardinals and Celtics of the past and Lakers of the past, that feeling of knowing every year you have an opportunity. And those are the things that I think we're about to experience now. I'll end with that. I'm out. You guys do a great job, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken. Kyle Brandt said something on Good Morning Football this morning that I thought was interesting, though. It just got spurred in my mind by Ken's call, which is he was basically like, the Commanders are probably giving a lot of teams false hope. Like, if your team stinks and you're like, well, we can be the next Washington. No, you can't. And the reason is simple. You're not going to change owners. Like, if you're the Jets, you're still owned by Woody Johnson. If you're the Jags, you're still owned by Shad Khan. Your ownership, and Kyle didn't use names because he's being nicer than I'm being, and also he probably would be frowned upon of doing that on NFL Network. But I appreciated the honesty of his take given the circumstances. But he was like, "You're not going to change ownership." And Jaden Daniels is an anomaly. They have the best rookie quarterback ever, and they changed ownership basically all in 2 years technically, but really kind of 1 year, because last year I'm counting as year zero. It doesn't even count on the Harris ownership clock, because that was a Snyder built team, and then they dismantled it and started over, and this is your first Harris built team. And that's probably correct. The only way to really genuinely change the direction of your owner, of your organization, is to change ownership. Or if you're an owner and you want to change the direction of your organization and you don't want to sell, you better change how you're acting. You better change who it is that you're hiring. You better change something structurally that gives someone outside of you decision-making power. And I think the Lions have done that. The Lions, you know, did that when they hired Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. And they're like, all right, we got people now. We're going to let them roll. And they made good hires, and now they're going to let them go. But for Josh, I mean, Tress Way told an outstanding story on Grant and Danny earlier this week, where he's basically like, you know, when Josh Harris took over, he and Mitch Rails took a bunch of the veteran players out to lunch and told him, like, we're going to get you this, 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 and this off the field so that you can focus on doing what you need to do on it. Like, ownership matters. It matters who you hire. It matters what infrastructure you provide. And the Commanders have that, which is going to give them a chance long into the future. And in the near term, they also have five, and that's pretty good as well. 301-230-0980. Let's go to D.C. to wrap things up. D.C., thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Great day, Craig. How you feeling, brother?
Feeling all right, bro. Feeling all right.
Understood. My prayers and condolences are with the Mayhurst family, man.
Thank
I can't
you.
Say enough about the man. He was a man's man, and he definitely stayed in tune and in touch and kept us in touch with local sports from high school to college all the way to the pros. I'm definitely vibing high when it comes to our team. I'm looking forward to going to Philly, a division rival. We 1-1 against them. I'm looking for us to come out on top being 2-1 and going to the Super Bowl and you know, making Mayhurst proud. And I could just hear his voice in my head, you know, talking about the team. But I'm definitely looking forward. I'm definitely vibing high. And I love the direction our team has grown, brother.
No doubt about it, man. It's been really cool to watch it come together. And I'll close with this. And, DC, thanks for the kind words on Pete.
Thank you,
as
brother.
Well. I guess I'll close with this on the Commanders side of it. I think one thing that's really been cool about watching this Washington team come together, and I've said this a couple points this week on here and on Take Command, but I think it's a good point to reiterate to close out. The team they are now is not the team that they were when they broke camp. And that's really special because coaches can enhance a team in a lot of different ways. And the main one in season is schematically. Can you find things that work for your guys, for your personnel, for your skill sets, for your whatever else you want to put in that bucket? But their ability to make the players actually get better at football at the NFL level is pretty remarkable within a season. I mean, we see you guys get better over the course of their careers, of course. Everybody learns from experience if they get enough opportunity. Right, there's some guys that never really get that much better because they get very limited opportunities, and then they're out of the league and we don't ever think about it. And then you have like your stars that just get better and better year over year because they're playing 1,000 snaps and you know, throwing 1,000 passes or running 1,000 routes, and you learn a thing or two and you get it just a little bit better. You're more adjusted to the speed. You have a larger like mental file on what defenses or offenses are doing to you, all that stuff. But I can't quite remember a unit in it, certainly that I've covered up close. I'm sure it's happened. I would have to ask around national NFL folks or other beat writers or whatever, but I can't think of one that got this much better during a season where you saw young players or even like young vets, Diami being probably the primest of the examples, just become flat out better players. Like if this was a Madden franchise, like Diami started the season at like a 73 receiver, and all of a sudden, like, you're like, is this guy an 81? He's good now. When did that happen? And so I think their ability to do all of that at once, to establish, build, and uphold a culture, to improve the actual skill and of the players, to continue to find better and better ways to implement those skills is just extraordinarily commendable. And it is the epitome, the definition of a team coming together to play its best football when it matters most. And here's to hoping there's one more of those games on Sunday and then one more 2 weeks after Sunday, which would be, of course, down in New Orleans. I'm Craig Hoffman. It's the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Thanks again for all of the calls and on the football, and also remembering our friend Pete Medhurst. If you're just tuning in, just joining us and haven't heard the news, we lost Pete last night to brain cancer at the age of 55. If you'd like to make any contributions to his family during an incredibly difficult time, you can at the GoFundMe link. I posted it on Instagram at Hoffman.sports. It is on the Team 980's Twitter page. And then if you're watching on YouTube or want to click over to YouTube, I also pinned the link at the top of the chat, and it is in the live episode description as well. So you can go and support Pete's family, Brenda and his kids, and their kids, I should say, during this incredibly difficult time. When we get back, Mitch Tischler is going to join us talking ball here on the Hoffman Show.